Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Will the United States Supreme Court successfully rule on one of the great mental health, civil rights, cultural, and social justice issues of our time, especially a controversial and polarizing issue like the rights of same-sex couples to marry? I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health. Well, stay tuned as the court will review California's Proposition 8, a decision that is expected to come down in June of 2013, and our next guest has a special interest in that outcome. She is Dr. Jo Linder Crow, Executive Director of the 4,000-member California Psychological Association. Dr. Linder Crow, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you, Christopher. It's nice to be with you.
You know, I said successfully rule, but you know, that may not be the appropriate statement or question. The question is, how do you define success? Because whatever their decision, there'll be lots of angry and disappointed folks, while other people will literally be dancing in the streets. So, first of all, give us some background, the backstory behind Proposition 8, and how did we get to this moment in history?
This came to the attention of our organization, actually before Proposition 8, when the California Supreme Court in 2008 handed down a decision that overturned a court decision that had ruled that the marriage could be defined as one man and one woman. California Supreme Court made a decision that same-sex couples could be married in the state of California. Proposition 8, of course, came about after that. You know, in California, we can get anything on a ballot if you have enough signatures on a petition, and that's how Proposition 8 came on the ballot, and Proposition 8 passed during the 2008 election.
Now tell me, Doctor, what is the why behind the position of the 4,000-member California Psychological Association? And frankly, why is this decision important to your members?
The reason we signed on to the amicus brief with the American Psychological Association that went to the California Supreme Court was because we view this matter as a civil rights issue. And we view this matter as an issue that involves the mental health of a significant cultural group in our society. And we signed on to the amicus brief with the California Supreme Court. There were 45 briefs filed in that case.
And my understanding is that yours was the only one that was noted.
It was the only one that was noted, and it was noted, according to the court, because of the strength of the psychological research that was presented in the brief. This was not an opinion piece or a white paper. It was backed up by significant psychological research on the issue of same-sex couples.
In fact, you have stated that same-sex couples are similar to heterosexual couples in essential ways, and that they are as likely as opposite-sex couples to raise mentally healthy, well-adjusted children. That's really an issue, isn't it? Because children, I imagine, often feel stigmatized, perhaps in school, in the eyes of peers and society, regarding their parents' relationship. You know, when a child has two mothers or two fathers, as the case may be, that can be quite a difficult burden.
It can be, and I think that even though in California we recognize domestic partnerships, it's a much different matter if you can say, yes, my parents are married. There's absolutely, as you suggested, no body of psychological research that shows significant differences between same-sex couples and heterosexual couples, either in the emotional stability of their relationship, in the potential for long-term relationships, and certainly there's no evidence that there is any difference in their ability to raise healthy, well-adjusted, happy children.
You know, I've read research over the years, as I report on health and medical issues continually, that people who are in long-term, committed, monogamous relationships, especially relationships that are sanctioned or blessed, as the case may be, by either the civil authorities or religious groups, have much greater longevity and less incidence of major health issues But that seems to make sense, because people who are happy, who feel accepted, who feel that they are part of a much larger community, are generally, this is not an official psychological word, more cheerful.
I think you're absolutely right. That is what the research shows. And you can extrapolate from that, I think, that if you have basically happier people, that they probably raise happier children. You know, it's the quality of parenting that predicts children's psychological and social adjustment. It's not the parent's sexual orientation or their gender that has an impact. It's really the quality of the parenting. And couples that are stable couples have a better chance of raising children who are well-adjusted themselves.
As part of your participation, you indicated that the Supreme Court now has an opportunity to, quote, send a strong and significant message about the harm that can result from discrimination and stigma associated with sexual identity. So from a discrimination standpoint, as you said, this indeed is a civil rights issue.
This is definitely a civil rights issue. It has everything to do with equality. And I think the Supreme Court absolutely has a very important opportunity here to make a statement that will have an impact on lesbian and gay people and on same-sex couples throughout this country. And their decision is going to have a ripple effect for many, many years to come.
I understand that you've written several op-ed pieces on this subject. Could you share some of that with us?
Sure. You know, I think part of what I said in the op-ed that I wrote to the local paper here was...
And that's in Sacramento.
That's the Sacramento Bee. Mm-hmm. Again, pointing out that we file the brief and we support the notion of same-sex marriage because it's an issue of civil rights. I said in the brief that this case was viewed as a matter involving civil rights and also a matter involving the mental health of a significant sociocultural group in our society. And then we talked about the research. And that was, as I said, I think the absolutely key component of the information that we presented. We tried to bring to bear the research about these issues, and we will do that again with the U.S. Supreme Court if our national organization decides to file an amicus brief, and we are asked to sign on. We will certainly do that.
Our guest is Dr. Jo Linder Crow, and she is the executive director of the 4,000-member California Psychological Association. You've also stated that the Supreme Court has said, or stated as the case may be, 14 times that marriage is a fundamental right and that denial of that fundamental right to gay and lesbian Americans harms them and the children they are raising. Are you optimistic about the outcome here?
I am. I think that what I have noted in the past, I would say even 6 months to a year, is that even public opinion on this issue seems to be shifting. And we don't know what the court will say, but again, we feel very confident that one of the reasons that they decided to hear this case is because it gives them an opportunity to make a statement about equality that will be in place for many years to come. You know, California is a progressive state. California was the first state to make a decision about interracial marriage. And the fact that this case is coming from California, I think, says a lot about the leadership that the state chose. And we're very hopeful about the outcome.
Let me give your website address. It's cpapsych.org. Dr. Linder Crow, thank you so much for joining us today on behalf of the 4,000 members of the California Psychological Association.
Thank you, Christopher. It was a delight to be on your show.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health. You're listening to us on Radio MD. Thank you for joining us today.